Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 444. Triple fours. Is that good luck?
Yeah, you have to make a wish too.
What?
Yeah, like you do with the time.
When it's 444?
Yeah.
Does that mean you get two wishes every day when it's 444? Or is it, do you get double wishes whenever it's three digits? Like 111, 222, 333, 444, 555?
I don't know.
666.
Well, that one doesn't exist.
That doesn't exist.
It'd be cool if
really,
it did.
Not really. Well, I mean, I guess it exists. I guess it exists if you're, if you count it as 606.
Yeah.
No. 650. No. What would it be?
It would be 712. Or 706.
706.
It would be 706.
706 is 666.
Yeah. Technically.
So it's 706. Make a dark wish. All right. So we'll make a wish. My wish is that, well, okay, you know, world peace, man. Everyone seems to cure cancer. But then also, as a selfish wish, it'd be nice if people came out to any of the shows that Matt and I are doing in December.
That would be great.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah, that would be.
I don't know if you really care that much, but I do.
I care.
I don't. What's nice is I think you care. I think you're mildly sympathetic to it, which is nice. You don't have to care too much. But Matt and I are going to be in Minneapolis on December 6th and Chicago on December 7th, and then we'll be in Seattle on December 13th. That's Friday the 13th, 7:06 in date time. you can go to nerdist.com/calendar to get tickets for all of those things. I'm very excited about this podcast, which is another one of those that, like, this should have happened a long time ago. Anyone who's listened to the theme song of the Nerdist podcast and said, how do I get that for a ringtone? How did you guys come up with that? We did not come up with that. The song was created by a group called Onomatoguchi, an amazing, can we call them chiptune?
Yeah, like 8-bit chiptune.
Yeah. Chip rock, chip tune. But Onomatoguchi was after we did the first episode of the Nerdist podcast, which was Tom Lennon doing the theme. I'm sorry, Senor Abuelito doing the theme song about how the Nerdist podcast was going to buy you a scarf and make sex with you. This was before your time with us, Katie. And then so I said, I really want the theme song to be kind of 8-bitty. And so a bunch of people said, you've got to talk to Onomatoguchi. So I got their album, Dawn Metropolis. And as soon as I heard Jetpack Blues, Sunset Hues, I knew that that was the song that we should have for the Nerdist. So I emailed them, and they were super nice, and they said sure. And they've been so, so, so cool about letting us use that song, which is, I think, defines the vibe of the Nerdist Pod. I can't imagine the Nerdist Podcast without the Onomatoguchi song. I hope they never take it away.
It's perfect.
Because I don't know what would happen. Like, there is, but they are, you know, it's probably not fair to say this because I'm not here. I think that song is more important than Matt and Jonah. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. But it is, it's not, we're all equally important. We're all equally important.
Yes.
I was very excited to actually sit down with the guys and talk to them. They have a new album out called Endless Fantasy, and or it's new-ish. And they have a bunch of shows coming up in December. If you ever get a chance to see them live, you should. They did a show here at Meltdown once. They're a fantastic band to see live, and they're fun dudes and really cool to us. And so now you don't have to wonder anymore if you didn't know where did the theme song come from. It is Jetpack Blues, Sunset Hues, which actually is going to start this podcast.
Yeah, they'll hear it in a couple seconds.
Yeah, so here we go. So starting this podcast, here's Jetpack Blues, Sunset Hues by the group Onomatoguchi. Hey, we're going to be down at Peppers and Irvine handing out keychains. I'm just a radio DJ.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Everything's been going too well. I have these bracelets now, as I mentioned.
You did, yeah, from fans.
Yeah, yeah. All from San Francisco, actually.
We've started recording. This is it.
This is going even better than I expected.
We're doing the podcast now.
In keeping with the trends.
We're down one.
Let that ruin our natural conversation.
Absolutely.
From two guys that have known each other for going on.
I'm sorry, could you say that one more time?
Let's not let that ruin this natural conversation we were having.
That's your off podcast voice.
It is really true. I don't know why I do it this way. It just seems more fun.
Jonah sounds relaxed when he's nervous.
Oh, shit.
That's why we get along so well.
I think so.
It's just so natural with you.
That's a nice report.
He speaks just like my father used to.
Son of a bitch.
A comforting voice.
Tell me about your dad.
The Gooch.
That's us.
It's unbelievable that it's been 3 years of people
Get in on the podcast.
Jetpack Blues, Sunset Hughes.
It's been years.
It's been quite a few years.
Yeah, yeah. And even before that, we were using this guy on Web Soup for the 2 years.
That's
before
right.
The podcast even started.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, when we first started the podcast, I was like, oh, I don't know. I feel like the theme song should be some sort of 8-bit kind of chiptune thing. And I went through a bunch of forums, and the name that I kept seeing over and over again was Onomatoguchi. You got to talk to Onomatoguchi.
Yeah, that's
you got to talk to Onomatoguchi.
We have a huge budget, and most people don't understand the importance of this, but you got to get those spam bots going.
Yeah, really. That's how you. Do you guys have your MySpace friend adder? Okay.
Yeah, we've been rocking that since 2007. That's kind of.
We haven't even bothered to check the count because it's just going to kind of. I don't know. It'll be way too high for us to use.
More importantly, who's in your top 8?
That's what I want to know.
Better be Jonah, because he suggested the song, and it worked out well.
Do you know?
Do you use a lot of blingy?
Offhand, who's on our top 8?
Our top 8? I think, Jonah's on there.
Tom, of course.
Tom, Tom. Yeah. Can't forget Tom.
Yeah. Number one with a bullet.
And then a few other Tom parody accounts.
Yeah, and then finally, you were the one, Jonah, that said Don Metropolis was that you could.
Don Metropolis was, yeah, that was the album.
You should listen to Don Metropolis, and I listened to. As soon as I heard Jetpack Blues, I was like, this is fuck. And there was. it was just like a.
I don't know. I liked that Disney app song. That was
good.
Hey, whatever happened
Disney
with that?
Disney did a great job.
You really should have just used that.
Is it still being sussed?
They donated a lot to our Kickstarter, so we actually. That's how we made it so quickly. Yeah.
Yeah, and I can't remember how I came across you guys, but I just remember blindly emailing you, going like, "There's a band I listen to that can do 8-bit because we need 8-bit stuff for Web Soup because we had Twitter shots and all those little different things." And then it turns out we had a mutual friend in Jesse Novak.
Jano.
Yeah. BJ Novak's brother, who did all the animation for the music videos for Don Metropolis.
Oh, now that I did not realize.
Yeah.
He didn't do the animations, but he...
He didn't?
No, actually, I did quite a bit of it in After Effects myself, but we worked with Dave Morrow, who's my roommate, and this guy, Paris Trantafelis, who's a very talented individual.
Evil villain?
Yeah. When you have that many consonants in your last name, it's bound to be villains. But Johnny Vingiano, too, also helped with the After Effects stuff. Mm. Yeah.
What number band was this for you guys? Were there other genres of music that you were sort of sifting through, and then one day you're like, oh, we should fuck around with 8-bit stuff?
Well, so we can say fuck. I knew we could, but I'm just...
You should listen to the podcast that your theme song is on.
You know, I don't know, the guests, you know, like Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, stuff like that, you know, it's very interesting.
I would put on a Monoguchi up there.
Well, let's wait until this is done and see if you would.
Okay.
Yeah.
And maybe if the rest of the band pays attention.
You guys
maybe
sandbagging it or what? What are you gonna do?
But as for music stuff, I mean, we all played in shitty middle school bands. You know, I played in a really shitty punk band when I was 10.
What was your favorite band?
Mine weren't all shitty.
Hey, come on. Sometimes your words are hurtful,
yeah,
man.
All our bands were like pretty bad before this. Like, oh, man, they were all the worst. Like, I didn't think you even heard of
them. Yeah, my band in fifth grade that covered Green Onions.
What were some of the bands?
What's
that?
Green Onions?
That's a good song.
It's a good song. I just rewrote it.
Let's talk about some of the bands that you were in before in middle school.
Guys, unsheath the mics. Get on.
I was in a band. My first band was called RST, named after
RST
Video from Clerks, because we were watching Clerks a lot and Mallrats and stuff like that. Yeah, and I guess we wanted to like fit in with that world and like sound like Weezer, but also the Dead Kennedys, and we fell flat both directions.
I kind of like a middle school band playing Dead Kennedys.
We had a song called I Eat Children, and my friends made fun of me for it for a really long time.
Have you ever thought about going back and re-record? Have you ever thought about, like, oh, you know, I think I can save those songs now?
Nah. No. Not those ones.
Would you give us a couple of bars of I Eat Children?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't the singer of the band, but I could try to sing it.
Yeah.
I eat children every day. I eat children, hey, hey, hey.
Yeah, those rhyme.
And yeah, it rhymed. We checked, it rhymed, and so it became the song. Yeah, my friends made fun of me for a really long time after that.
Really?
Yeah.
All the bands, like a lot of the bands I was in when I was growing up, like most of them just had joke lyrics because none of us were sincere enough to.
Well,
really...
that's why Onomatoguchi doesn't have lyrics.
So who plays? Let's get this out of the way. Who plays what?
Yeah, we should do a roll call.
Let's do that.
8 guitar band.
Nice.
It's a guitar me.
Two guitars each.
Yeah. I'm Pete. I play guitar and do some of the like programming stuff. That's me. Hello.
I'm Luke. I usually play drums. Sometimes I'll program a thing, but usually I play drums.
Nice.
I'm Ari and I do guitar and programming.
Guitari.
I'm James and I play bass and make sure the live setup doesn't blow up.
That's true.
Missing some programming.
I love
that. No, it's just different programming.
Really? You hear their programming, you see my programming.
Yeah, James. Dumb. Like, we
James
can
does
all,
the lights. It's true.
It's pretty implied that we're all programming something, so we can just kind of forego saying that in the future, probably.
Yeah, I guess.
No. I think that was important. I needed to know. You're each pro. It's fucking crazy.
Have you ever seen any of the videos where people actually cover Jetpack Blues, where it's like two guys with guitars, or like people with fiddle, or guy in a...
Yeah, I saw it. I think it was like a mandolin or something, I want to say. Something that was like, how'd you do that? And it was pretty sick.
Well, we had Sarah Watkins on the podcast, who is a bluegrass artist, and they covered it. And when they were and they're fucking like master musicians, and they started playing, they're like, oh fuck, this is hard, like, because I guess just because the way, you know,
I didn't mean, yeah, like whenever,
yeah, it's in a weird key. What's the what key?
It's in F sharp, which is a little sharper than F.
Weird to me.
But yeah, we I mean, when Luke joined the band, like, we used to, there was a long time period where we didn't have a drummer, and like whenever we tried to like get drummers in the band, they were like, Pete, you can't play this. Like, I'm not gonna play this line. But then when Luke played a show, he actually did. So
yeah, real tight drummer. Real tight.
I like to play.
Yeah, humans can do a lot. Can't do a lot of things that computers can, I guess.
Yeah, I remember it was such a different experience seeing you guys live, because when I put that show on back here at the backspace here.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Meltdown.
Love
that.
And that was great, because it was just like, I don't know. I think you said it when you were playing. You're like, essentially, we're just a pop punk band, but just with like electronic noises over the music.
Yeah.
And I just like, I remember like you fucking click tracking it. Fucking, you stayed along so tight. It was a good show. It's a great show.
I mean, it's really, really hard.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it seems to go well. But it's still...
It didn't seem like at any point you like fell off from all... Because it's like you're just playing to pre-programmed shit the entire time.
Yeah. I mean, as long as I can hear that and nothing else at all, then I think I'll be okay.
What's it like now, though, that the... like the new album is like a little... It's a lot less punk.
Yeah. It's well, it's punk in a different way, as you know.
It's
punk
daft.
Is not
it's
limited.
Daft, the kind of punk it is.
I like that. But I mean, we basically, Ari over the years has been introducing a lot of electronic music to us, like whether it's Tiesto or like for real.
Yeah, yeah.
We went to see Tiesto on his birthday last year.
That was fun. Or,
it was pretty sick.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, there's we all grew up using computers, and you know, we always loved electronic music, even like Aqua growing up.
Or yeah.
Like, stuff like that.
Barbie Girl.
Yeah, you know, the deep cuts. Deep cuts.
Growing up with Aqua, huh?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, even like MIDI sounds and stuff like that, it's fun to incorporate that. And there's like still some punk stuff on there too, like
yeah.
A little bit of 200 BPM stuff. But
yeah, it's well, it's, yeah. It's drenched. It's you know, it makes Don Metropolis sound lo-fi. You know, just like how just broad the
well,
sound
we decided to record the album in HD this time.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
I still kind of make the claim that this is the punkest record we've ever made.
Yeah.
Just in the whole like, and I've thought about this a lot, just in terms of like how people have come to see us and our band. And I always think about this interview I had with Ian MacKay, where he's talking about his conception of punk and what that is. And it was he described it as. The quote was, a room full of misfits. You know, people who just didn't have their place in some scene or in their community or in this crazy fucking world. That
yeah, like a room where, in. Like, Glenn Danzig and Jerry Only are in. That's
yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, like, so I mean, at the same time, like, we don't really fit into any genre. We have music that is pretty punk, like, sonically music, but at the same time, we're not trying to, like, fucking conform or anything.
Yeah.
In the same way that like a lot of people who come to our shows and say like, you know what, man, like I tried to get some of my metal friends come to the show, or like I tried to get some of my other friends come to the show. Like I love this stuff, and like there's nothing like it. It's like it's pretty fucking punk.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that weird if you start if you start fucking around with a certain style of music and then all of a sudden it starts to become popular? Do you think about oh shit now it's not? Does that make it not punk anymore?
Well, then it makes it pop punk.
There you go.
Which is really what we're aiming for, anyway.
Yeah. Why not, so. Man?
Yeah. Well, I remember what you said on that show. We're just like, these are just, I can't really, like, these are just some 41 riffs.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, oh, man. I just saw this photo of Derek Whibley.
Oh, I saw that picture.
That photo was really intense.
Singer of Sum 41. Not looking good. Not that he ever looked good. Not looking good.
He looked good. No, hey, he definitely looked good.
Yeah, he was kind of a...
Back in the day, he was
a dreamy dude.
I definitely like, wanted to look
at their prime.
Did you, like, it's like, I know these guys had, like, a kind of a punk music background, but, like, coming up, like, were you just more of an electronic music guy?
I pretty all over the place. Of ones, yeah. I know. I was, like... Enjoyed a lot of punk stuff, but then was also kind of in like a screamo band, but also going to raves when I was like 13, 15.
That was the thing. Like, I mean, you know, especially if you grow up in a smaller town or like the scene is really small, you just like, you're finding whatever it is you can do that just seems kind of countercultural or just any kind of like, because I remember like I was going to punk shows. If there wasn't a punk show, they were like, oh, there's a DJ night and we go watch like, you know, like hip hop DJs, or they're like, oh, there's, you know, like these guys are rapping here, or there's like raves. We go to raves too.
Yeah. And it just kind of. Anything that wasn't.
Yeah. Anything
just
that's not
norm.
Boring.
Yeah. Exactly. Because everyone else, like, you know, you're in high school where they're just like, it's like they're just drinking at the, you know, the beach or like at someone's house, and that's just boring if you're like, you know, starting to get into, and it makes you feel kind of more adult. You know, when you're like, because it's like, it's just kids everywhere. And you're like, fuck, this is like, there's no adults around here. It's great.
It's funny. You could always tell, like, oh, yeah, he grew up in Hawaii. I mean, people are just hanging out at the beach.
Sorry. That could have said the shore.
Everyone knows
the shore,
beach.
The lake. Lakes, you know, there's,
the woods.
Yeah, yeah.
The Circle K.
Yeah.
You could have said, anyway. Where'd you guys grow up?
James and I grew up in the suburbs of New York City in Chappaqua, New York, which is Algonquin for where the brush rustles.
All right.
So.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, well, a little trivia. Chappaqua trivia.
I grew up in Hollywood.
And
I grew up in, kind of downtown and then moved out to the west side in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we're like east meets west.
Where did you guys go to high school in Los Angeles? Where did you go?
I went to Hamilton.
Oh, okay.
I went to a French high school called Lycée on the west side.
Whoa.
So Ari's fluent in French. That's real talk.
I went to Loyola for a year. I'd lived in. I transferred in from another city.
I got kicked out of a dance there once.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Why?
I was with a girl that snuck in a bunch of alcohol.
Oh,
we were 15.
Bitches, man, bitches. So
got a lot.
I was gonna say the same thing. Yeah.
Are you on tour right now?
We actually are pretty much at the super end of our first leg of the tour. We left New York on the 16th of May, and we've been in a really, really, like, I know people always say their van is smelly, but ours is like real bad. Yeah. We gotta get rid of this thing. We tried to sell it on Kickstarter for $10,000. It didn't work out. We dropped the price to $7,000. It didn't work out. And now we're selling it for...
With 5 minutes to spare.
With 5 minutes to spare. Yeah, like fire sale. Yeah. $7,000.
Just unload.
Now the
option
is just out there. Anyone can.
Yeah, now, like, best offer.
If you want Anna Monoguchi's
guys,
smelly tour van...
Nerdist listeners.
It can be using the offer code NERDIST. Get 10% off Anna Monoguchi's van.
That's, make sure you go through the Amazon link on the page.
Yeah, yeah.
This episode is sponsored by Anamana Gucci's van.
The headlight fell out the other day. Just mm-hmm. driving, it just fell out.
Why not?
It's just, yeah, it's like, fuck this.
We didn't even honestly,
you guys aren't going to fucking... Yeah.
I'm not going to stick around for the end of this thing. I ain't getting smashed into a box.
It's an angry van.
Fuck yeah, it smells like shit. Somebody wash me, please.
It's got 400,000 miles on it.
Jesus.
Nice. And it's got barbed wire license plate covers, which we just got. So
yeah, I mean, we got to bump that value if we're going to sell this.
Those are worth more than the van, probably.
We should say they keep the license plate frames if you buy the van. I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, that's not a guarantee. Yeah. You might want to keep them.
Has that thing been all over the country? Has that been the
yeah,
vehicle?
Yeah, a couple times.
Twice.
Yeah.
Did you get it from another band?
We got it from an airport shuttle service called Golden Touch in New York City. I don't know if they were allowed to sell it.
We didn't get it from Golden Touch. It was a Golden Touch van, but by the time we bought it, it had already been disowned, as it were.
Still has the decals on it.
It's more of a brown touch.
If you fly a helicopter over our van, you can actually still see the Golden Touch decals.
But only if you fly a helicopter.
Only helicopters.
Yeah, you can't
not
see
a ladder,
it.
Not a building.
I mean, you can only see it from so very high.
Yes.
has the song being on so many episodes of the podcast, did that help at all?
Big time.
Oh,
absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
So
I got a, well, if you guys want a special van discount.
Yeah. Oh, yep. I'm listening.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Because people always are like, man, I sure wish that song was available. And I'm like, it is available.
Yeah, I always see it on Twitter.
I tag you. I was like, Anamana Gucci, Dometropolis, like, Jetpack Hughes. It's on iTunes. You can buy it. You can make it your ringtone.
Exactly.
It's a thing. There were people who made this, and they do a bunch of other music, you know. This wasn't a one-off for them. Like, they, you know, if you like this,
it would be a pretty cool thing if there was a talk show where the host did everything, like a Conan yeah. show where Conan actually played and wrote the intro.
Well, he is multi-talented.
Yeah, he is multi-talented.
He can make it happen. Are you daring Conan?
I'm daring anyone. I'm daring Chris.
What?
What about our song?
That's really out of our hands.
We had one episode. We had one episode of Tom Lennon singing. I'm sorry, Señor Abuelito singing. Yeah. The nervous poor guy will buy you a scarf and make sex on you. Yep. And then
it was a big step up.
Episode
step
two.
The
nervous podcast will buy you a. The nerdist podcast will buy you a scarf.
You guys have lyrics. That's amazing.
It will buy you a scarf and have sex on you. Yo, I think the lyrics actually kind of fit. His lyrics actually kind of fit on Jetpack Blues.
Beautiful.
Oh,
I have the original, our original theme song, like, isolated on my computer.
Oh, yeah.
Tom will let it through. Thomas Lennon's got a beautiful singing voice.
Maybe you should play it at the end of this episode.
Sure, yeah, I can get it.
So, bookend it.
Yeah, no problem. You guys are going to hear the original theme song from episode one.
Or just go listen to episode one.
Yeah, check out
fair enough.
The podcast.
Effort. Do that.
Yeah.
Was not seeing that on iTunes. I wasn't seeing past 2011 on iTunes.
On the server?
Just on iTunes. I couldn't go back any farther than 2011.
Get with the program. Oh, if you go to our Libsyn page,
if you go to nerdist.libsyn.com/RSS, you'll get the RSS feed.
Yeah, you'll see everything.
That'll give you all the podcasts.
Find it on a podcast alley, something like that.
Yeah.
I got bootlegs here. Every Nerdist from 2010.
Freely available on the internet. Here, only $20.
But you can't find it on iTunes, so...
No. Now you can have it on a cassette.
Bar, scroll bar doesn't
we
go
don't
back down
it.
Far.
You don't want it. You don't want it. Fuck you.
What's been the biggest challenge for you? Like, I would imagine people are. You seem to have a pretty strong following. I'd imagine like your shows fill up pretty well.
It's been insane. Like so we played Salt Lake City, and we've played like a bunch of these cities.
There. No way. 2 days ago.
So were we. Yeah. We toured with this band P-Lander Z, and that was our first time touring across the country. And they're this amazing Japanese like comic book adventure band that has human bowling and giant squids at their shows that have bass strings.
I'm on board.
It's a good time. So we toured with them, and like we played Salt Lake City, and like people were like, who is this? And like, what is this? And I'm just confused. And then 2 weeks ago, there was like a line around the block, and it's insane. And it's been like that for the past little while. And it's pretty.
Isn't it
pretty
weird when people come out to see your shows on purpose and they're already on board?
On purpose.
That's what I've been saying lately.
I just noticed there was a line here. I just wanted to stand here.
Yeah, it totally changes everything when people go there on purpose because there's like, you don't, you know.
It does really change the way that I try, like, because like, I typically am the guy that's like talking on stage, like, hi, this is the show. And like, normally that's fine for me because I can introduce ourselves. It's like, hey, we're on Monoguchi, we make music, blah, blah, blah. But all these people already know that part. So thank you. I've been practicing it for years.
Yeah. Honestly, your patter is amazing. Yeah,
my experience.
You're Pete. You know me. You know so much about me.
Yeah, so it's tough. It's like, I mean, because we have a really weird Twitter account and I don't know what people expect from us at shows. So I it's been really weird. Mostly, like, the biggest challenge, I heard the word challenge, and this has been the weirdest thing, is when, like, I'm on stage and I'm, like, about to say something, and then someone asks me a question, and, like, my natural instinct is just to answer it. But, like, no one else heard the question, so I'm just, like, standing there on stage being like, yeah, New Orleans. No, it was six.
So you're having a one-sided conversation.
Yeah, and then, like, I notice I'm doing that, and I freak out, and I'm like, shit, and then Luke plays a song, and it's all fine.
And it's fine. So people see not only music, but also half conversations.
And delusional breakdowns, yeah.
You just got to repeat the question they say in your answer.
Well, I mean, that's what Ari and James suggested.
No, I said not to answer questions.
There's no Q&A? Well, you have to give them some vocal something, because, you know, the songs are all instrumental, so it's kind of nice to have...
The human voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
They know you're not robots. They know you're people. Have you ever thought about, like, let's just do one song where we sing on it?
We have some vocal guests on the album, and we're going to do some more. But, we're all afraid of our own voices, and Rather, we never like to make music in the same context. Like, we always want to do something new all the time because we have zero attention span, and we like way too much stuff. So, like... I can't do like the J-pop Eurobeat DDR voice, so I gotta get that person. Yeah. And like we can't do the like sassy R&B, so we have to find that person too. And yeah, we just like.
How about the next incarnation? Just an experiment is like Barbershop of Gucci, and it's just you guys doing 4-part a cappella harmonies. Maybe of the songs that you do already.
Maybe.
Or maybe new ones. Or maybe
just
new
covers
ones.
Of old classics.
You could do that.
Standards.
Just the Haunted Mansion theme from Disneyland.
Oh.
I think our fans would really enjoy that.
Yeah, they would. Yes.
That's why they check us out.
Yeah.
For the 4-part vocal harmonies.
How much of it do Disney songs. How much of it do you feel like is sort of like you guys naturally evolving, or do you feel like you're running from anything in the sense of like we can't be the same, we can't be the same? Like, is it, you know, do you ever worry about, like, when you see someone who's trying, I'm not saying you're doing this, but but when you see someone who's, like, who's trying really hard not to conform, right. And you're like, well, you're just conforming to nonconformism. Like,
how much
does it loop around, or what is kind of your motivation?
Well, for us, I mean, it's kind of just hard to say because we're just so capricious and have no... real plans. Like, we don't even know what we're gonna do tomorrow, even though we have to do something tomorrow for the show. Like,
you should play that show.
Yeah, that's a start.
Yes. That's near the top of the list.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, with this record, it went in kind of like 100 different directions before it turned into what it is, which is just like all of those directions in the same place, I guess. I don't know. It's not a pressure that I ever am conscious of or feel.
Yeah, I would say that it's the pressure is never like being scared of being different. I think the only time there's pressure is like, are people going to be all right with us trying different stuff? That's the only time I ever feel pressure where it's like, yeah, I really want to try something totally different, weird right now.
Yeah,
that's what those cops are here for. They're not. That's the cool police. It's not okay to be different.
What's the reaction been for the new album from some of the diehard fans?
It's been
overwhelmingly
awesome.
Positive.
I only saw the first negative tweet yesterday.
Actually.
Wow.
Yeah. Actually, we've been looking
that's
at all the tweets.
One I've seen.
What was it?
Someone, it was for prom night. They're like, oh, I really like the intro of the song until
the singer comes in.
Started singing on it.
That's kind of a
that's rude.
That's half and half.
But
that's not even a super negative.
We've been really into looking at the comments that we get from the record, and the first day that we released it, there were so many tweets coming in, and 80% of them said, "I just jizzed all over my keyboard," or "I'm coming buckets," and like all these people just really wanted to tell us,
"Yeah,
amazeballs," or like my amazeballs can't produce enough cum for my keyboard.
It was really good.
It really tells you a lot about the age
group.
It was
the first time I stopped.
It was disgusting. Yeah, it was not okay.
You know,
I started taking screenshots.
There
were
some photos too that they posted.
Hashtag cum bucket.
Pics or it didn't happen.
Oh god. Yeah, but like, or like this album has like all the feels, or like it's just like no.
It's just all internet speak.
Yeah, it's like I appreciate the enthusiasm. But I don't appreciate the buckets of cum.
Please stop sending them. Please stop sending the buckets of cum.
Rarely does anyone appreciate the buckets of cum when they're having it.
Well, you know what? A couple years ago, I heard you talking about this on the Nerdist podcast. Here's a bucket of cum.
Oh, fuck. This is going to happen.
Don't look up,
Pete. It's just mine.
Your shows are going to turn into like...
They're all going to laugh at you.
Your shows are going to turn into like opposite Guar shows where people are going to be throwing buckets of cum.
No, we didn't want
onto
this.
Onto the stage. Big monster. Like, what's happening?
Dude, nothing sounds scarier than playing to an audience that's Guar. It's so horrifying.
We're all in like foam outfits. So they all look like demons. You're just like, are we fucking tripping?
We're like 100% normal.
Oh, yeah. T-shirts. And
I kind of like this as a video idea.
That is fun.
That's
yeah.
actually really sick.
That's pretty good. Just well, like we walk out on stage, haven't seen the crowd yet. Just like, what's up, guy? Just like,
oh shit, it's Guar.
6 foot tall costumes.
Yeah. Like, huge dicks waving in the fucking back.
Pirate cum no technics.
we're getting cum blinded no by strobe lights.
Coined by
everything's the other way.
It's pretty sick.
I think you have to have someone from the cum department there.
Yeah,
because if you're going to do cum no technics, then you have to make sure that everything's.
You
got to
have it licensed and cum code. Get the permits.
How did they graduate?
I think it's okay, Chris. We thought about it. We're going to shoot in Ohio. They have really lax cum laws there.
Yeah.
That's where all the cum videos are being shot these days because they don't even.
Coming Andy.
They don't even check.
I would have said Columbus.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, wow. No, that didn't work out.
Yeah,
right.
They're all real clunky.
They're
all real
Cleave cum. That doesn't even work. I do think that. Are you guys shooting any more? Are you shooting a video now? Soon?
I can't hear the word shooting anymore.
I'm sorry. Are you guys firing hot jets of film at, in the direction of an activity that you would like to record?
We have some.
Are you shooting?
Hard,
are
we
you
have
shooting?
Some big hard loads of footage.
Oh, good, good, good. Well, could you put them all over my YouTube channel's tits?
Yeah. Come on now, Chris.
What?
No, sorry. Come on now, Chris.
Now, please.
Oh, God. This is turning into a very.
This is turning into your Twitter feed right now.
Pretty much.
What do you guys think about separation of church and state? Just trying to turn the. Just turn the conversation. Where did the name Onomatoguchi come from?
Well, actually, it's a pretty interesting story. Ari actually was a year ahead of me in school, and he went to New York, and I met him there, and he was actually interning at Armani. And James and I were both from Chappaqua, New York, and when we went to the city, we actually got hit up by Prada to kind of like demonstrate some stuff at some of their exhibitions and stuff. And Luke, when he came to New York, he was on vacation and got picked up by Gucci. So
I mean, I we started. Know how to, you, like, I was at a. It wasn't like So someone that had worked with my dad on a project, but he like it didn't work for my dad. It was just right. like in front of a friend. He was like, "Hey, I'm having this party in New York," and it's like, "Well, I don't live in New York. Can my kid go?" So I got picked up when I like went to this party and started talking to this designer and just being like, "Oh yeah, I mean, I do this," and he's like, "Oh wait a minute, I've seen like sketches of yours around. Like, come to the office," and they swoop me up.
Yeah, so we actually got very, very popular in the party scene of fashion, and we would always roll together because we were very young boys.
Playing music,
yeah.
Playing music at the party?
No,
we weren't.
We didn't know how to play music at this point.
This wasn't us in a band. Yes. At the time, we were just kind of like getting together and chilling. We had been in bands before, but
it was before middle school bands.
But what are they having you do at fashion parties?
Mingle.
Shoot the shit.
Sell.
Just like
always
like
be closing.
Cute young boys.
Yeah, and the thing is, they would call us because they'd always call us the Armani Prada Gucci boys because we'd always be together. But you know, people get tipsy, so they say Armani Gucci boys, and then that's how it came together.
That came from a completely different area than I really thought that was going.
Oh yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah. So it was basically just like
we're almost the Armani Brooks brothers, huh?
Yeah. Well, actually, James and I, like my uncle worked at L.L. Bean, and so we were going to work there.
Leon Wood Bean started L.L. Bean in 19. Never mind.
Do you see what you've done? Do you see what you've started? Now he's going to run off and start buying catalog shit. He can't help himself.
Guys, I'll J. Crew you later.
No.
What does that mean?
Doesn't mean anything.
I don't know. That doesn't.
Let me go come on something. We're back. Okay.
We're back. Back to reality.
Everyone put your dicks away. This isn't some kind of banana republic.
Oh, shit. We played at the fucking venue that Eminem fucking did 8 Mile at. I forgot about that.
The movie or that actual moment in his life? Was it Rabbit or was it... Actually, you know what? In the song, though, he does break out of Rabbit. Said, you know, this is... Fuck that. This is me talking now.
It's pretty sick. Yeah. And yeah, I had that same moment on that stage in Detroit.
Yeah. So you guys were like 8 Bit Mile.
Oh, shit.
God.
What?
Did
damn
I just...
Oh, I just walked right into that.
Fuck.
This interview's over.
I'm like pissed at that pun and I don't know why.
I feel like that's... Wait a minute. You've just described the log line of this podcast. I'm pissed at that pun and I don't know why.
Yeah, we punned all over your face.
Pun buckets.
Make a shirt with that. Like you might wear it.
So now that you've finished the album and you're at the end of the tour,
yeah.
There's I assume another leg of the tour, or is there like a European tour or what's happening?
Yeah, we're going to go on tour with Kitty Pride. Actually, 2 days from now we're going to South Korea for a music festival. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be so good.
Have you heard of this Gangnam Style video?
I have not. But I've seen
is that like the show Gangland?
Yeah.
Gangland Style.
Yeah.
Holy
yeah,
shit.
It is.
That needs to be done.
I'm jealous. I actually really do want to go to South Korea. It looks because like a lot of my animation friends spend time in South Korea and they're like, it's fucking amazing.
Chris, you could just go.
with whose schedule, Matthew?
Well, I mean,
can I
just
go
clear
to
off
Korea?
A week
the
and
one
go
you
to
make
South Korea?
For yourself?
Yeah, the
no!
one, the one where you say yes and no to things.
I don't own myself anymore.
Well, Chris, can you do like a Eurobeat, like J-pop kind of voice? Because you could come with us and sing for the.
Yeah, sure. I'll do whatever you want.
Cool.
I'll do any kind of voice you want. I'll just do dumb cartoon voices on the side.
That works. Right?
Who else is playing the festival? What kind of festival is it?
It's an electronic music.
is there going to be Mushroom Jazz by Mark Farina?
We're playing right before Perfume, which is my favorite group of all time. The Japanese trio. It's going to be sweet.
Nice.
I can't wait. And Carl Cox, Avicii. It's going to be like real electronic
Carl
place.
Yeah, so this yeah. is...
No, it's going to be legit. So you know the Ultra Festival they have in Miami?
Yes.
This is that in Korea.
Oh, okay.
It's the second one.
Yeah.
So
it's playing in the Olympic Stadium.
Shit, really?
It's straight up.
Scary.
We're not ready. We're very scared.
You know what is kind of genius about your music is that it really just works everywhere.
Like, that's
there's
like the fun part.
There's no like, what are they saying? It doesn't matter. Like it's music that works everywhere.
Yeah, it's funny because like we're misfits everywhere, but we're also fits everywhere. It's kind of
Jonas choking.
Sorry, Jonas.
Fuck you.
now you have to make that Twitter's Amanaguchi's Twitter profile. We're misfits everywhere, but fits Missing, everywhere.
Yeah. Oh shit. That's good. A PR girl just laughed. Hi, Sarah.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Put it in the press release.
That's at the top of the bio.
Tagline.
Have you played internationally before?
We've been kicked out of the UK a couple times, if that's what you're asking.
How do you get kicked out of the UK?
You don't file the paperwork.
Oh, that'll
then,
do it.
And then you tell them that you're playing shows, and then you get kicked out. It's
and
really
then
easy.
The second time you lie about it, but they catch you.
Yeah, oh. That's another way to do it. And then the third time, you actually get proper representation. You do it for real, and then you actually go, and it's going
to
be sick.
That so hasn't happened yet.
But we have been to Amsterdam and Ireland. Actually, when we went to Ireland, Luke left his boarding pass on the plane while we were like...
it wasn't my boarding pass.
Not his boarding pass.
Like, customs.
Yeah, customs form.
I went up and he was just like, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I must.
And we had just been kicked out.
And he was just like, guess it's on the plane.
Stamp.
Welcome to Ireland.
Done.
No! Wow!
Yeah, it was so sick. So not the UK. Yeah. In Ireland.
Well, technically, it's still the United Kingdom.
Do you find that crowds in different countries react in different ways or in different places in the music, or is everything pretty uniform?
So they typically just jump on each other and have a crowd surf time.
Yeah, so far, like, it's all been pretty,
yeah. pretty consistent.
The only one that's been kind of weird was when we played a show in Paris.
Oh, that was weird. That wasn't a show.
That was a weird setup. Anyway.
No, it was a show. It just wasn't like a show that
we
was supposed
at,
to be a show.
We played at like 3 p.m. in a clothing store.
Like a really nice boutique.
Yeah. And that was like your show for Paris?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the only one?
It was like seriously hooked up by friends that had access to a lot of money that wasn't theirs. We're like, you should just come hang out with us in Paris.
Yeah. So it wasn't really a show.
It was my roommate who was like 17 at the time.
It was like,
and
you
like
guys should
gave
totally
him like a bunch of money. They're like, yo, bring cool stuff to Paris. So he's like, all right, my friends can come to Paris.
Shit.
But yeah, we...
my friends are cool.
My friends are cool. Give me money.
That's fucking weird and red.
We played Mexico, though, for the first time in March, and it was so amazing. We have Four Loko on our rider because we're really stupid.
You idiots! That's the fucking devil sperm.
You'll remember that pre-band when we played here in 2011.
Oh, I was so drunk on Four Loko.
Oh shit! I fucking remember that. Yeah,
I played.
There's a video. Oh my god! Link to this from.
Okay,
this is the worst. There's an amazing video on YouTube of Pete just like, all right. I'm gonna play this song. Look at it up. This goes into the most out of tune, dog shit, worst possible cover of Roots Radical by Rancid. And it's just like verse chorus, and he's like, you know what? I'm gonna tune my guitar.
Was that the second time?
Second time.
Yeah, I fucking remember that. Because that was right
I got a little too comfortable.
They were just about to like outlaw, like they were gonna like take it for a look, and so everyone was like, "Well, we should try it now before it becomes illegal.
We have to consume it all before they take it away."
Yeah, because like Jason Wallner had like a Four Loko party, and like
we had a protest. We protested it in New York City. We had a rally. And we made signs, and people came, and they made signs. And one of them said, it said, Four Loko, never forget, with an H at the end. They spelled it wrong.
Yeah, but it was, like, internationally covered. Like, Huffington Post did a whole piece on it. Yeah. It was, like, a serious issue.
And by the end, like, the photos that we got of it, there was, like... People actually started getting naked, and it was actually
was
a big
girl,
people we didn't know.
Crazy on
it was disgusting.
Just like showing her ass, and some guy was like,
"It wasn't just her ass.
It wasn't just her ass."
I'm trying to keep it.
Four Loko is the devil's sperm.
What are you trying to keep it? We just did a whole run on cum buckets. You can say
it was her vagina.
Uh huh. All right, there you go.
I didn't hear the first part of that.
Trying to kiss her on her vagina.
Trying to kiss her on her vagina
in Union Square, New York.
The South Mouth.
It started off as a protest to save Four Loko, but it ended as like exactly what they were talking about.
It's nuts. And the next day is just even fucking worse. It's just like you feel like your brain feels fuzzy.
Oh, it was bad.
You know how you have the best night
ever? I made so
many
mistakes. Yeah.
Four Loko and a bottle of André. That's it.
Mm.
Just Four Loko,
the thing about
champagne
possible. Four Loko is like drinking a bottle of wine. There's as much alcohol content in it as
a bottle except
of wine.
It has this taste of blood in it too.
It's the worst.
Something about the can, it's just like it has this
color.
Metallic blood.
No, you put it on ice and it's fine.
So what is the Four Loko they sell now?
It's without the energy.
Flavors, yeah.
Without the energy. It's still 12%, it's still $2, and it's still definitely marketed to kids.
Yeah.
It's a big problem.
Yeah.
But
you're out there, kids.
But we're out there fighting for the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely. It's going to be something like that or an energy drink. Is that from the video?
It is.
Oh, what the? That,
yeah, that's my face, and that's someone we don't know, and that's
bent over. Oh, and you tried to kiss that woman's vagina?
Not me, no.
Oh no.
No, this guy who looked like Kevin Federline.
It might have been Kevin Federline.
this awesome man.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Wow, look at him taking pictures. That's so great. In the worst way possible.
He's taking selfies.
In the worst way possible.
Where are those pictures available?
Whoa. Someone's got an All My Children.
Brooklyn Vegan.
Bro, it's on Brooklyn Vegan.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, no, there's an awesome chant that got started. If John was
Oh, God.
I don't know if he can host these photos on the site.
Yeah, sure
we'll just point him to the Brooklyn. We'll just point him to Brooklyn Vegan.
Not safe for most things.
Thanks for that.
There's an awesome chant that got started during that. If John was still with Yoko, we still would have Four Loko.
There's the forget.
Yeah, it was, we were in Rochester when they like announced it, and literally that night, our friend Ryder Rips called us and was like, "Yo, we have to like get a Four Loko protest together." He was like, "I'm already on it."
That
like,
night.
And we were like, "All right, I found like this sign, like a Four Loko sign, like in a deli somewhere. I just like took it off the deli and I was like, I need this."
And
we like,
and he understood.
He got a quest.
I need
he just gave you a nod.
Scroll down. Yeah. A solemn nod.
Yeah.
like a John Hughes movie or something.
He didn't say anything, but I know.
Oh, my Lord.
Wow. Like you know, now seeing her face, she doesn't seem like that kind of person.
No, she looks like one of the Huxtables from the neck up and then neck down, just like her
the buttsticles.
Vagina is starving for those panties that she's chomping down on.
And meanwhile, we were playing Sublime covers with just the lyrics Four Loko.
Four Loko.
It was, I
was like burning candles onto my guitar in Four Lokos.
Oh wow!
I'm
glad I missed this trend.
Yeah, it wasn't a great day. There's
no, you know what it'd be? It's like
what? Yeah, this looks like a fucking Andrew Jackson Jihad concert. This rules.
Good band.
Yeah,
it would be like I don't want no sangria. I'm trying to figure out the parody. I don't want no sangria. I just want Four Loko.
That guy has a kid there. Oh, what is he doing?
Oh, wait, there was a really good Loko is what I got.
That's really clever.
That was really.
And if he didn't die from heroin, I'm pretty sure he would have died from Four Loko.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We've decided that this was like in 2010, I think. I think we wanted to kind of our PR stunts are a little more controlled now. And like we just sent a pizza into space. It's a little more positive thinking, I guess.
Do you think when the lead singer of Sublime died that he immediately turned to gas? Come on, guys. Science joke? Anyone? Sublimation? That's when a solid goes directly to gas.
Yeah. Is Neil here? Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Neil is not here. But I think he would agree.
I saw a guy, another comic that I actually like and respect, and we talked about music a bunch once, and then I saw him on Instagram taking a picture with Bradley Knowles, like, grave. And then I was just like, I don't know this guy anymore.
Well, maybe he was doing it ironically.
I don't know if he was.
It looked really sincere. Much the same way whenever we're in a car together, we put Sublime on. Smash Mouth.
Somebody. Here's a fucking weird thing.
Oh, check this.
I put on Music Choice last night. Me and my friends were hanging out, getting ready for Game of Thrones. So I put on Music Choice channel.
Have you seen it? We tried to torrent it last night. I got HBO Go, though, and it just doesn't work. Good. That's why we torrented it.
It's good. It's fine.
I can't believe that they.
But here's the thing. It's like, you know, when you have Music Choice from like, you know, whatever cable company you have, and it has like little fun facts.
Oh yeah,
here's how great this is. I already faved and retweeted this. So
yeah,
it's gonna be good, guys.
I can't wait.
This was the fun fact on Smash Mouth's.
What's his name?
Smash Mouth's page.
Smash Mouth Steve Harwell lost his 6-month-old son to acute lymphatic leukemia.
That's
And the part of it, oh my God, this is horrible. And it's got the trivia. It says, did you know
with the letter U?
Oh my God.
Who was responsible for that metadata?
I was just saying, the fucking
what if that's the most fun fact about him?
What the song's about.
Oh my God. That is horrible. I want people listening to know this is not a bit. This is a screen cap from the Music Choice channel.
I took a picture of the channel.
Here's
like the worst
part. That's horrible.
The song that was on.
Can't get enough of you, baby.
No.
Dude. That's so
are you kidding
terrible.
Me?
Yeah.
Why would they do that?
Yeah. Dude, you should really send a complaint to someone.
It bummed everybody out.
I'm going to
We were already bummed out enough
ass.
That Smash Mouth was on. And then, like, it's for that.
Fucking insane, yeah. Dude.
Dude. That's terrible.
Oh, that just killed my whole yeah. attitude.
That's so fucked.
What's the opposite of cum buckets? Because that's what I'm feeling right now.
Tear buckets.
Dude,
tear buckets.
All the feels. Definitely all the feels.
I hate that so much.
Dude, I can't yeah. because of reasons.
kill it with fire.
The thing that, I mean, I don't know. I as much as I love the enthusiasm, it's just, if you're that enthusiastic, you think you could come up with something by yourself.
Yeah, you know? like which feels? Because it's not all of them. It's not happy. It's not like sad. Not it's not pissed. Yeah. Like, it, just tell us what feel it is.
I always used to be annoyed by the phrase, it's all good.
I say that too much.
And I'm like, it's not all good. Some of it's definitely not good.
That's why I started saying it's all gravy.
Oh, yeah, well, how
it's all gravy.
Yeah.
Wait,
because we can all agree.
For the listeners at home, I just want to point out that Chris just went to confirm that he was correct, that sublimation is the transition from a solid to a gas.
And here's the thing.
Sublimation,
no one doubted him.
Sublimation is
him.
A transition of a substance directly from the solid to the gas phase
yes,
without passing through an intermediate liquid phase.
You know, it's like you know, even funnier.
Sublimation is an endothermic phase transition that occurs at temperatures and pressures below a substance's triple point in its phase diagram. The reverse process of sublimation is desublimation or deposition.
Hey, Chris, no I barely graduated high school.
Yeah, me too.
Like, that couldn't mean any less to me if you tried.
You don't practice academia.
Oh,
you ain't got no crystal ball.
Ball
yeah, you always
mythic.
Get a crystal ball once you graduate, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Tells you what to do next.
Yep, that's right.
I actually, whenever I sing Santeria at parties, I just say those first two lines over and over again. You can do that for the whole song.
I like any sentence that starts off with whenever I sing Santeria at parties, dot, dot, dot. Whatever you say after that is
Well,
fine.
I got a couple things in my arsenal. I got that. I got my It's Band. I got like a whole bunch of things that are just ready to go at any party. So, you know, got to keep them on. That's
it's
a new
been
one. I didn't
some.
Know I could do that.
We should just
the best is when
up.
You link them up and you like It's Band and then a while, you know, like the same song, like It's Been a While.
Oh, you gotta fucking hang all those together.
You gotta hang all those together.
You gotta put them all together.
The mega mix.
So far away.
My favorite joke with my friend was always be like, let's see what's on K-Rock. And just it would just be, cut my life into pieces. And then one time I actually did that, and I didn't sing. I was just like, let's see what's on K-Rock. And it just right there.
No.
Yeah, it was the fucking perfect.
Should we all take a piece of one of those and basically play soundboard?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so what do you want?
I'll stand with the old standby.
It's.
I'll do Sam.
Okay. What else? What are some of the other ones?
I'll take a. I am. That's my go-to.
I might as well take a little baby.
What's left?
Many.
I got another thing in my repertoire is.
Stone Temple Pilots.
Stone Temple Pilots, yeah.
I was going to go with I am American Badass.
Oh, shit. Well, speaking of which, Luke has a real big point
God.
Here.
No, okay. So my girlfriend pointed out to me that there's this song that should have been done by Weird Al years ago.
And I wonder why it hasn't happened.
How come American Fat Ass?
Never been made. Yeah.
Like, it's like, fuck. Are you kidding me? Like, he just... couldn't at that point. Like,
I can't tell if it's
spirited, and he also probably didn't want to do another song about food.
Like, it seemed like at that point,
fat food.
Jokes were kind of like on their way out.
Yeah,
like,
that's
so
definitely the
cool.
Like. I mean, he couldn't have done fat like the you know. The
oh my God.
Michael
if he,
Jackson.
If he tried
one,
to do fat now, it would be like
it wouldn't work.
He would be an
lawsuits.
Asshole.
Yeah. He'd be a. It would be like Weird Al, more like Mean Al.
Does everyone remember? I think I'll take Matchbox 20's here. So I got.
Wait, what's where in the song is that part?
I think it's just always like the end of a sentence. Here, it's always like they always like he gives it a little extra push. Here,
we need an Alanis
that's what it's all about.
Sound.
Oh, yeah. We actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's Cranberries.
That's both.
Yeah, it fits.
That's You Ought to Know and Zombie.
Yeah, and Jewel.
Put on the PJs singing, and get like, into your bed.
You won me over. Yeah. In spite of me. So don't be alone.
Okay, so should I?
It's a damn good song.
Should I do
that? Yeah.
Should I do the?
Yeah.
Or do you like
here?
I like here. Yeah,
because
it's
okay.
also
that
shorter.
One's good.
Okay,
that one's definitely
anyone
solid.
Got a Hetfield?
Ari's good. Ari does good in Hetfield.
Do you want to do a
yeah?
Oh, he's good at those.
I don't know which one.
Yeah,
he's getting ready.
He's got to prime it up. Oh, air horn.
You have air horns?
The secret to singing like Nickelback, though, is you got to add Y vowels before any vowel that you're singing, like I, like yeah, or like
yeah.
Okay, so.
Wait, did you guys, wait, real quick, did you guys hear about that Metallica cover that Adele did?
No.
No, which one?
For Whom Adele Tolls.
Jesus Christ, dude.
That pun pisses me off, and I don't know why.
That's great. That's probably the best thing that's ever been said on this podcast ever.
I'm so proud of myself for that.
We're proud of you too.
Like, chop my dick off, shellac it, and like make it into a letter opener.
Why bring your dick into this? The name of a book. Kyle, so you're gonna
and
direct the soundboard.
All right.
So you have to stand up, and then just wherever you point, then we have to.
Then
also know that you can point at two people at the same the same time.
Wait.
So what's yours, James?
Yeah. So who's all Bible here?
Okay. So let's just go through and count off ours again.
I got the Yitz Ben. Do you want the Yitz or the Ben too?
Oh, I want it exactly the way you do.
Okay.
Oh, so we'll go around the table. We'll go around the table this way.
All right. Cool. Yitz Ben.
I am. I am.
Little baby.
Sam. Here.
It's been. Okay. Good.
It's been.
Here.
I am.
I am.
Sam.
It's been.
Sam.
It's been. Little baby.
I am.
Little baby.
I am.
Little baby.
It's been. I am.
Here.
Well directed.
The world is gonna roll me.
The world is a vampire. Shed.
Shed. Right there, Shrek money.
Fun fact, a collective child they all had lupus.
Oh no!
Well, no, there was supposed to be just been one kid based off of all the sperm of the members of Smash Mouth, but then there was one that was
you
great.
You just described Freddy Krueger.
There was one that was great, but then there was another one that wasn't so great, played by Danny DeVito.
Did you make a twins reference?
Yeah, it was a twins reference.
That was real cute.
Twins!
And twins!
This has been really fun.
It has been really fun.
So what's next? So what's next now? You guys, your tourists? Are you guys gonna take a break, or are you gonna?
No breaks. This train got no breaks. We are.
The van has
really
no breaks.
Check the van.
We actually that was true for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
actually,
we had a lot of metal scraping on metal for a while.
Oh, that's good.
Metal on metal.
But no, we actually when we get home, we're gonna play on the Jimmy Fallon show. It's gonna be sweet.
Yeah.
First time ever, and we're instrumental, so it's gonna be weird. Let's see what happens. But
are you a little nervous to drum in front of Questlove? Are you afraid that he's going to come over?
Questlove played Jetpack Blue Sunset Hughes when you were on the show.
Yeah, when I came out on the show, he played.
Right. It was fucking insane.
Yeah, that was nuts.
And now he follows us on Twitter, which is pretty fucking cool.
That's awesome.
Okay, do you think he still follows us?
Yeah.
I think he might. He follows a lot of people. I don't think we're that special.
He doesn't pay attention to it.
You know, polite, like, hey. And then just wait a little bit, take it off. I've done that.
We've all done that at one point or another.
Yeah, it's nothing wrong with that.
I still follow you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Check right now, or do you need a better?
You have something called integrity. You have integrity.
Turn off your notifications.
Yeah, when we get home, we're working on some other music video stuff. We just filmed one where Luke is actually the main star.
Ooh,
it's nice. His first starring role in a music video. He looks beautiful in it, and it's going to be real good.
So, who are you in it?
Jack.
No, I am.
Oh, I get it.
We'll take it back.
Damn it.
I messed that joke up.
No.
Well, you can watch three reruns of Saved by Adele.
Well, I'm gonna leave a glass and I'm gonna feel so right.
here. Dude, my mom met here. Rob Thomas. It was her birthday party. She was at a French restaurant in my hometown. Rob Thomas lives in my hometown. Oh. And he was like, what's this group of fun ladies that are having a great time? And they're like, oh my God, it's Rob Thomas. And then he bought them all drinks. And
they, was a great man. Did they recognize him by his bangs being down in front of his face? Does he still have that haircut? I'm wondering.
I know. It was 3 a.m. He was feeling lonely.
Yes! Sure. Yes!
Baby.
You know, I make fun of those songs, and I fucking know the words to every goddamn one of them.
Because they're all wonderfully
smooth. All Matchbox 20 of them.
Smooth was the first one of the first things I learned how to play on guitar.
Really?
It's a good-ass song.
That's Santana.
Yeah, man. Sure.
What's wrong with that? It is interesting that you guys are of a generation where...
We grew up in the Latin explosion.
How old are you?
That's true.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's the Latin explosion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
How old are you guys? Like 25?
20. Good average, actually. Yeah. We're 24. He's 25. I'm 25. 24, 24, 26.
26. Yeah. Because you're sort of the first kind of generation growing up that really was, like, you grew up digitally. Like, you grew up digitally. And
pretty
so
much.
You sort of have that, it's almost that weird Elroy Jetson thing where it's like the little kid who can program the computer, but then also, like, but then you also do analog things, at the same time.
It,
so it is
kind of grew up with us together.
Yeah, exactly.
It's our friend.
It's your buddy.
we all have this friend that we all met on the internet. It's called the internet.
He manufactured himself to be your own friend.
He started as Kids Only with AOL keywords, and then he grew up into MySpace.
Yeah.
When he was in, you know, his awkward phase.
And then he grew up into, like, nice videos and weird shit like that.
And it's never going away.
No.
I did hop on to the new MySpace just to see what it was. It's really pretty, but I went on it once and never went on
it. It's a basically music
site. It's the Justin Timberlake website. Yeah. He's all up on it.
They have a neat player, you know. They have, like, a good music player. It's a lot better.
We never deleted it on MySpace.
When we were talking about our top eight earlier, I tried to go on my phone just now to see what it is, and their mobile site just will not show our top friends. It only shows us songs.
No.
So, MySpace, if you're...
if you're listening.
If you're my top eight back? In touch as we want you to be.
It's really important that we find out who is in the top eight.
I want people to know who my best friends are.
I
want to
rank my friends and then alienate the other ones at the same time.
Exactly, because there's
then
nothing
better.
It
became better. Top 8, top 16, top 32.
Right? Yeah.
I only took it to 16. I wanted to...
I never went
I think 30. I remember my favorite top 8 ever was someone had, like, 8 Hulk Hogan.
Oh, that's great.
I definitely couldn't outmatch that.
Once I found out the HTML to just take out that, I did it immediately.
I did have my MySpace novelty account, which was just the username was just Yam, and it was just a picture of a yam, and the tagline was "I'm not Vietnamese."
And you had some time in the early 2000s,
and then I just posted from the point of view of a yam. Yep. I'm staying in the ground because that's what my roots are. You know, it was a lot of stuff like that. Luke's mad again.
I was going to ask why, but then you answered it.
Yeah. There you go. It was that kind of stuff.
I am what I am. Was that your quote?
Oh, no! I totally should have had a Popeye.
Missed opportunity.
Let's go back. We can go back.
You can always edit it.
So is the album available? The album's available now?
Yeah, it is. It came out in May, and now it's out.
Are you guys? Was this album on a label, or was it?
No. We did it kind of on our own thing, but we used like a distribution company to kind of get it out to stores and stuff.
And how did you find that process?
It was actually really fine. It was pretty good, actually. it was definitely emphatically fine.
It was very stressful to try and do ourselves.
Yes,
we knew that going into it, though. Like, we kind of had the option to do it with the label, but it wouldn't have been what we wanted. We were like, we're control freaks anyways. Let's just deal with it ourselves. But we had to do a lot of stuff we've never done.
Do you really feel
I had to learn about stocks of, like, plastic?
Oh,
there's a lot of manager type stuff that we're not necessarily.
Do you feel like that the putting out your album is, because everyone says like, you put it out yourself. Is it really a viable model, or do you...
if you want really hard mode, that's a good way to do it.
I mean, it's obviously something people can do, like Bandcamp and things like that make it really easy. But like on a higher level,
you need to have something to go off of. Like, honestly, I'm pretty sure we wouldn't have been able to do this if we hadn't been, like, working and playing and building up a fan base for the last 5, 6, 7 years.
I mean, we're also reaching our limits at this point, I think it's fair to say. Yeah. There are times where, like, all of a sudden, like, they're like, oh, everything is best done by yourself becomes untrue.
Yeah, exactly.
Where, like, I just can't do all of this.
And yeah, and it's funny, like, the DIY mentality, to a certain point, it's like, at a certain point, you're just, like, kidding yourself. It's like, it's like a bit entitled to say DIY. It's like, you have so much help.
like Radiohead could do it fine. They did have an amazing selling record.
Do it together.
Themselves because they're fucking Radiohead. Yeah. They did it without a label, but they had literally everything and anyone else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the same thing. Like, in comedy, it's always like, well, why don't you just do what Louis C.K. did? Like, dude. Well, because he's Louis.
Yeah.
And not everyone else.
Yeah, because he has something to base that on.
And, you know, like, it's not everyone else can really pull that off.
Yeah, like actually, Louis C.K. proved that comedy is just you can just do that.
If you're Louis C.K.
The self-releasing model is a totally fine one. It's just who's in control of it will determine how successful it is.
And the boring and the unfortunate boring word that you have to learn is scalability.
Scalability.
Can you scale up? And you know, like, if you want to, and listen, if you want to continue playing at a certain, you know, level, maybe you just want to play locally, or you want, like, that's fine.
It's totally
fine. But if you want to go up to the next level, unfortunately, you need that sort of boring infrastructure stuff that will help support that growth.
Yeah, you basically just have to, like, define your ambition as, like, an artist or whatever. And, like, what was really weird about the Kickstarter that we did and, like, how crazy that blew up for us, like, we kind of had our ambition defined for us by other people, which, like, they gave us a certain amount of money, and now it's like, oh, shit, now we have to do this much stuff and do it to the standard of quality.
That's actually kind of the good part about Kickstarter that I don't know if people really pay attention to is your accountability to your fans.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if it's a corporation or a label, then you can just be like, fuck them. But if people who are fans of you believe in you enough to part with their money to help you make a thing,
exactly,
then you better be really accountable to them.
Yeah, it definitely becomes a bit of like a populist kind of idea.
But at the same time, like, for a project like this, the response has been so fucking humbling and huge and overwhelming that it's not like we're obligated to, like, do what we said. We, like, it just makes us want to give them more. Like, that just kind of makes it sound like, oh man, like, what are we gonna do now? We're accountable is such a, like, wrong.
No, it's just like we want to do that though. Like, it just, like, fuels it more. It's like, whoa, they're is this much of an audience, I guess.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's not like potential. We need to do this much stuff. It's we get to do this much stuff.
That's way better than saying it how I said it.
I mean, the overfunding is really weird because we're definitely not trying to do things because we're overfunded.
Right.
That would be the wrong reason to make something, I guess.
Right.
But, it's definitely crazy that we have access to that much stuff, and I think we're doing a good job at figuring out what we like to do and what we don't like to do, so someone else can do it for us.
So are you guys still in the? I mean, I guess with music, a lot of the money comes from touring. Is it good to the sense that you're able to support yourselves? And,
oh yeah,
yeah, you're good.
I wish.
Yeah, I mean
that.
Oh yeah, Luke.
I have a job that I wonder if this is actually ever going to get listened to by anyone I work with. I have a really cool job that has me working from the van all the time, and I actually had to spend most of my time getting yelled at on email today and trying to get in touch with my boss who's in London, and him just being like, call me, this is very important, and then I call him 6 times and he doesn't pick up, and then I get an email, okay, call me, and nah, still need it. So that's why I'm not going to say anything more specific than that right now.
Well, these are the awesome points that you're talking about that is really fun. That's the really fun part
Luke's
of the job.
Luke's job is great.
Who else would he email with if it wasn't his boss, you know?
Hey, man.
Hey. But yeah.
The answer is them.
Ari and I, we don't do anything but the band and, like, other, like, music stuff. Like, whether it's, you know, writing.
It's very two-sided at this point, though. We have, like, creative band position. We have, like, business band position.
Yeah,
we have,
it's weird.
If we have, like, three different
Yeah, like, managing the band is, like, our day job right now. Yeah. It's weird. And James works at this really cool company called Adafruit, and like, so James does all of our like touring light setup stuff. Cool. Like, even though he doesn't do like the music programming, like I said, he does that.
Light.
Yeah,
light program.
He better do some kind of programming if he wants to keep that seat in the Gucci table.
And I like that job too, Luke. I actually like that job.
Yeah, no, it's really sick. It's all like tech stuff. Yeah, like James in his free time, like he basically lives in like the Hey Arnold apartment. Like him and our buddy George, who's like a brilliant web designer of mine. He used to play guitar in Onomatoguchi when we were in high school together. But yeah, they made a doorbell. Well, their apartment doesn't have a doorbell, so they were like, all right, we got to have some kind of system. So they made one where as soon as someone enters the room, it plays sitcom sting music based off a library that they found. And it senses if you're entering or leaving.
It'll boo you if you leave sometimes. Yeah. Or it'll play the Hey Arnold theme song when you walk in, or the Saved by the Bell, you know, like entering the Max scene.
Yeah, and it's all like hooked up to Arduino. So like one time it was James's birthday, and like he got really, really drunk, and George and I were getting home first, and we were going to go play NFL Blitz. And it was like, man, we should really switch the doorbell to happy birthday when he walks in. Wouldn't that be so nice? And we just didn't do it. But you came home.
I wouldn't remember it anyway.
Well, you came home passed out, so.
You came home passed out.
Somehow. I don't know how.
Yeah, this is exactly what I wanted to talk about.
Oh, sorry. I mean,
so this birthday party, good God.
It was a good birthday.
It was really a great birthday. I had fun.
It was a really good time.
You shattered a glass during a toast.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that was
great. Oh, yeah, you did.
Made a huge scene.
James is amazing because he's half like sports guy, half like, but half like science genius, too. He's a bit of an enigma, and I've known him a long time.
Man, we're all a lot of things. This goes back to that first. We don't fit into one thing.
No. Say it again.
We're misfits.
We're misfits everywhere, and we fit everywhere. And we're fits everywhere.
Yeah, we're fits.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm really glad you don't write lyrics there.
We're misfits everywhere, but we fit everywhere.
Actually, any fake lyrics I write for like the melodies that we have all wind up having to do with happy birthday. It all comes back to happy
Anna,
birthday.
Monoguchi, Anna. Well, thanks for coming on, you guys.
Dude, thank you for having us. Do you want us to do an a cappella version of the theme song right now?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, bum doom
I don't think you guys know what acapella is.
Yeah, I mean, I can't do an acapella, but I have to go home and get my table saw.
Oh, yeah.
Table saw?
I mean, we're doing an acapella.
That's what expects next band, Luke Capella.
Isn't that what you have to, like, make it?
Yeah.
The acapella.
Right, the table saw.
It's DIY. Well, you have to build it.
Dwee is Dwee. Okay, see you guys.
Enjoy your burrito, everyone.
It's been all right.
Here.
Well, Chris, honestly, it's been such a good time, man.
Well, thanks for being here.
Sometime we'll come back.
Somebody once told me you guys started in high school.
That's a weird way to end a podcast, Jonah.
Can we just
it's a cliffhanger.
We'll just loop it all back around.
Glad I came on to the Nerdist podcast on my birthday, deathbed.
If I can leave you guys on just one final Stone Temple Pilots story.
Okay.
That's equally as disgusting as the Four Loko story. Just to keep the theme. One day I had that song in my head, like, where hell the dogs will find her? That one in my head. And I was walking down the street, sophomore year of college. There was this bike shop, and there's always this dog sitting outside. And, like, this is one of the grossest things I'd ever seen. It was just, like, on the ground. And, like, it's fucking dog vagina. It was just fucking all over the place.
It's called a dog pussy.
And literally, like,
yeah, keep going.
Instantly in my head.
I just like giggled on the street. It was like 6 a.m. and because I sang in my head, well, the dog's vagina is so gross, hating that vagina. The dog, and so,
yeah. Vagina.
I'm glad that I could get that out into the airwaves.
Similarly, I was at a karaoke bar in Burbank, and Scott Weiland was just hanging out at the bar the
Are you
night.
Fucking serious?
And he what, never what sang.
Did he say? Oh, he didn't
He
sing.
Never sang?
No. And someone did a Stone Temple Pilots song. Oh. Because, like, I think
and
it was their,
the
like...
Shot
was, it
Ch-
was, it, was it Chester Bennington?
I don't know who
it was. That's a real current music joke
right
there.
It wasn't
me. Yeah. He's the new singer of Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh!
The guy from...
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. Good for Chester.
Yeah, he's... what's the band?
Now he is...
He is!
All right. Stone Temple... We got Stone Temple Pilots, Smash Mouth...
Linkin Park.
And a whole lot of vagina stories, so...
Let's just close with, well, the dog's vagina.
Yeah, we could definitely just close with that.
Okay. Everyone.
Well, the dog's vagina!
It's so gross, hey, damn, vagina, 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 vagina.
All right, we're on Amanaguchi. I'll see you guys later. That's
spike the microphone.
Sorry, sir.
We sounded too good at that.
That. Yeah, we should start a band. That was some good shit. You guys, what are you guys doing tomorrow at the Echo Place? You guys want to...
I think we'll stand up.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.